Did you know that in the 1960s, people were already making video calls? Yeah. Way before we had the internet, video calls already existed, and you are probably wondering how exactly is that possible? In fact, in the year 1927, someone named Herbert Hoover, who was the Commerce Secretary of the US, appeared before an audience. He was in Washington, D.C., and he appeared before an audience in New York City via what you can call a video call. Right, back then they called it video telephony, right? So it's pretty interesting how far we've come when it comes to communications, telecommunications. And while I was researching for this podcast, I was pretty amazed that we already had that sort of technology back then. But the problem was that it required very expensive infrastructure back then, unlike now that we have the internet. Back then, you used wires for such things, the same way you had like telephone wires, but it was a lot more complicated. So it made it almost impossible to commercialize that sort of technology. Yeah, but it's pretty interesting to know that they already thought of Zoom before Zoom was invented. Pretty cool. Yeah, so it was really interesting going back in time, seeing what the evolution of communication was, precisely the telephone, and seeing what it has, the iterations it has gone through before what we now have today, the really sleek looking iPhones and Samsungs with styluses, really big batteries, nice cameras, one of the fancy things we have now. So yes, that's also today's podcast will be all about. And on today's episode of How Cool Tech Works, we'll be taking a journey back in time to see what we had before what we have. So to do this, we have to go all the way back to the invention of the telephone, right? And when you go that far back, one name that always pop up is Alexander Graham Bell. Yes, he's said to be the inventor of the telephone. But the interesting thing is, it's other names will come up. If you go deeper, other names will come up, and they already had what you could call the telephone before Graham Bell created the telephone in 1876. The reason why Bell's name will usually come up as the creator of the first telephone is because he got patents for it in the US before those other guys. But either ways, it doesn't take away the sheer brilliance of what Bell did back then. So in his words, he said something like, "If I could make a current of electricity vary in intensity precisely as during the production of sound, I should be able to transmit speech telegraphically." I have no idea what that means. Yeah, if you are thinking I was going to explain it, yeah, I don't understand what it means. But what I know is that the telephone he created had three main parts. It had something like that looked like an eardrum, a needle, and a battery. So the drum was connected to the needle, and the needle was wired to the battery. The battery was then wired to the receiver, right? So when you speak into the telephone, the drum, the needle kind of like touches the drum like stuff, right? So the needle will vibrate, and then the vibrations are turned into electricity, and then electric current then travels through the wire, then through the person you're trying to talk to, and then the person gets the vibrations and they're able to hear what you're talking about. Yeah, sounds very simple, but pretty sure if Graham Bell was alive, he would have probably given us more details of how this worked. Yeah, but very impressive stuff. We are thankful to Graham Bell that he did what he did, because by year 1900, about 600,000 people already had telephones by then. Well, if you compare it with today's numbers, that seems small. But back then it was really huge. It was a big deal. Imagine creating something and then in a number of years, almost, well, more than 500,000 people were already using that thing. I'm sure Bell was a superstar back then. So increased adoption meant that we'll see an improvement in the technology, which we did. Things started. Some of them looked really weird. In fact, I think some of them looked like torture devices. Yeah, but it started changing. Things started to evolve. And then by the... we evolved to the rotary phones. I don't know if rotary phones. I actually saw a rotary phone once in my uncle's house. That was early 2000s. Those are the phones where I honestly don't know how they work. They made zero sense to me. So what you did was, if you're going to dial a number, sort of keep rotating the thing. I don't know how that dials numbers, but yeah. If you look it up, you'll probably see what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that was pretty much how that worked. Unfortunately, Graham Bell didn't live up to the 1970s to see the video phones I talked about earlier. He died in 1922. So if he had lived for about 38 more years, he would have seen video calls. So yeah, the video call concept came firstly in 1927, right? But then it came back again in 1976, right? But even back then, it didn't still become ubiquitous, right? It didn't become something people started using. And a lot of things happened before video. I mean, you think that if video call came in 1927, at least by early 2000s, video calls should become pretty common. But it didn't become common, right? And we still had to wait for a long time, right? So how did we get to where we are now today, where we have touch screens? Well, before you can talk about where we are today, we have to first talk about the creation of the mobile phone, right? That was also another watershed moment, because before the mobile phone was created, what we had was wired phones, landlines, and things like that. So this time around, we'll be thanking Dr. Martin Cooper. He was an engineer at Motorola, and he created the first mobile phone, which was called the Motorola DynaTAC in 1973. For people who are young, like people now, they'll probably not refer to the Motorola DynaTAC as a mobile phone. And here's why, right? The DynaTAC, you could only make phone calls consistently for 2 hours before it dies. It weighed about 1 kg, 1.1 kg, so it was basically weighing the same size as a newborn small baby, pretty much. Imagine that's really pretty. But here's the fun fact, right? Dr. Martin Cooper was a fan of Star Trek, and if you're familiar with the Big Bang Theory, you remember Sheldon Cooper, who was also a fan of Star Trek. So yeah, they both have the same last name, and they are both fans of Star Trek. And interestingly, Dr. Cooper got the idea for the first mobile phone from the sci-fi series. Wow, pretty interesting stuff, if you ask me. Yeah, so yeah, incredible stuff he did. And even though he invented the first mobile phone in 1973, it wasn't until 1983 when it became when it was released commercially and people could start buying it. And guess how much it was? It was a staggering almost $4,000, $3,995. That is a crazy amount of money even back then. I mean, what kind of gadget is that expensive now? You probably have the Vision Pro. So a DynaTAC then would have been like the ultimate flex, like owning the iPhone 15 or the 16 that's about to come out. So like I said, the invention of the DynaTAC was a watershed moment in telecommunications. It really showed us what was possible when it comes to personal communication. It laid the foundation for the development of smaller and more affordable phones that we have today. So we went from DynaTAC, and then more evolution started happening. But I should also note that yes, the DynaTAC is usually referred to as the first mobile phone, but then we also have something called Mobira Nokia Senator. Yes, some historians will say this was the actual first mobile phone. Yes, it could be, but if you can look up what Mobira Nokia Senator looks like, it looks like a mini transformer. Yes, it was gigantic, really gigantic. So from there we moved to smaller types of phones, and yeah, I'll put a link in the description to a YouTube video where you can picture a lot of these things. So mobile phone technology made massive leaps, and I think one thing that really helped was the lithium ion batteries, right? Because batteries played a massive role in what we have today. So think about it. The Dynatac could only do 2 hours before it went off. But when we created lithium ion batteries, we created smaller batteries that could hold more power. Probably thinking about the electric vehicle episode I did. Yes, this was also important to the evolution of electric vehicles as well, because batteries, no matter how big or how small, they laid the foundation for all kinds of mobile technology. And yes, phones kept evolving. Remember the TAT 310. Then we had the Symbian phones. Nokia really dominated the market back then. I can remember Sony Ericsson. I had a Sony Ericsson back then. Very, very cool phone. I think that was the first phone I used that had a front-facing camera. Really slick phone. The sound was really nice. I remember it had one tennis game on it. Oh, I love that game. Yeah. And then we moved, and then we got to the era of touch screens. And the most memorable moment when it comes to touch screens is the launch of iPhone in 2007 by Steve Jobs. Yeah, that was probably one of the most iconic moments in global technology. But then, Apple didn't invent the touchscreen. So the touchscreen actually existed way before then. There were a couple of guys that kind of created something sort of like PDAs. Very few people will know PDAs. If you are born after, 2001, you are probably not old enough to know what PDAs are. But PDAs were pretty much like a personal computer. They had like a stylus, right? And there were guys that were doing things like that. And there were guys that took it a bit further, and they created ones that you could use with your thumb. So yes, iPhones popularized touch screen, but it had been in existence way before the first iPhone launch. So regardless, they still popularized it, and they made it generally acceptable, right? And that was really important because it was coming after BlackBerry's ruled the market. And BlackBerry's, those had a QWERTY keyboard, it had physical keyboards. And it was a belief back then by a lot of people that no one really wanted their keyboards on their screen. But I guess iPhone proved us wrong. And yeah, the reason why we've made such a huge leap when it comes to mobile technology or mobile phones in the world is because of the competition, right? I mean, we are probably getting to that stage where there's a bit of a monopoly. I don't think there's a monopoly yet, though. Some people argue that. I think Apple is in court currently for something related, but I don't think there's a monopoly right now. I think we sort of have dominant players, but the reason we've had so much improvement in mobile technology is because of the competition. The healthy competition, Samsung versus Apple, the Chinese guys that keep creating really amazing stuff. And I really hope it continues. I hope we see something really exciting very soon. We're seeing some pretty exciting things like the foldables by Samsung. I think every Asian mobile phone maker is making foldables right now. I think Apple is the only one that isn't doing foldables. They probably will, probably won't. But let's see. Yeah. So that's it on today's episode. So that's it on today's episode of How Cool Tech Works. I hope you found this enjoyable. If you're listening, I don't have very few listeners, but if you enjoyed it, please share it with someone, share it on Twitter, share it on social media. Really love that. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next one.